On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we're continuing our rewind back to the basics. Today, we're going to really talk about the 10 ideas, and in particular, some of the most importantest 10 ideas. So let's jump right in. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy. Hi, everybody. Sam Goodman, your host of the Hop Nerd Podcast, owner and consultant. I struggle saying CEO because I feel like everybody calls themselves like I'm the CEO of, I own my own business, the Hop Nerd LLC. I'm the owner and the consultant. I am the social media manager and the podcaster and the, because it's just me. I'm a solo entrepreneur helping organizations with human and organizational performance. Companies on their hop journey all around the world. It feels like I've been here, there, and everywhere over the past couple of years. If you need a hand on your hop journey with hop fundamentals, learning team facilitation, operational learning teams, deep dives, and all the stuff that you know that I do, or if you don't know that I do, go over to www.thehopnerd.com and you can learn more about all that I do. Get in touch. I told you my fall is getting wacky. I still got plenty of dates available, still got some flexibility, but that is changing rapidly with every episode of the podcast that we release. The podcast, I'm going to have to pre-record a bunch for this fall. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to. So if there's any guests or anything that you'd like to see in particular, hold on, cold brew pause. Nice cold brew. If there's any folks you would like to see on the show, let me know, thehopnerd@gmail.com. That's how you can get time on my calendar for all the services that I was just talking about, too, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Or you can learn more about the services at thehopnerd.com. A lot of Hop Nerd stuff here. And if you want to just book an initial consult call and just skip the email step, you can do that over at the website, too. Do me a favor, make sure that you check out the website. It means a lot to us. And if you're into all that we've got going on around here, everything that we got cooking, scroll down to the bottom of that page, any page really, and click join the mailing list. You'll see it down at the bottom of the page. And I think it just says join the mailing list. Hold on. I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with you right now just to make sure because I don't like lying and I'm just kind of guessing. So I went to www.thehopnerd.com or thehopnerd.com for short. That's pretty slick, huh? And I scrolled down to the bottom and right there, it's a nice little kind of gray box down at the bottom. It's got home, starting points, operationally curious questions. You should check those out too. Some interesting news, I think, may be coming with those in the near future, hopefully before the end of the year. But check out the card deck, starting points, operationally curious questions. You can contact me there. You can check out the shop. By the way, check that out, too. We got some really great merch popping over there right now. Been working with, like, actual artists to come up with some stuff. Hold on. I'm going fast. So I'm going to get some more cold brew. A little ice crunch in there too. We got all kinds of cool stuff in the shop, the podcast, the blog, there's services, and then there's a mailing list. You can check that out along with everything else that's down there, like the Hop Nerd Sideshow, which I've done a really bad job of telling people about. It's kind of been like our little kind of secret, I think. Many of you have found your way to it. But I do have the Hop Nerd Sideshow as well, which is an additional podcast to this podcast. It is not on this channel. You have to go search it out, the Hop Nerd Sideshow. If you're looking on Spotify, you'll find this podcast, the Hop Nerd Sideshow, and you'll find the Hop Nerd official playlist that I was just rocking out to right before I hit record on this thing. I was listening to one of my most favorite bands of all time, which is Sublime, and I was listening to STP, if you want to know the song that's running through my head right now, and you can find that over on that playlist. You can just follow it, and I'll send out the invitation every now and again to allow you to add to it, and the place where you find that invitation, I'm stringing a lot of stuff together here, right? Go over and follow me on Instagram. That's where I post all the not businessy stuff and a lot of personal stuff, and everything else, like life. Just go look at my Instagram story. It's random memes and throwbacks and family stuff and just things that I find hilarious. Yeah, so you can follow me there too. It's just The Hop Nerd on the platform formerly known as Twitter. I think it's The Hop Nerd 1 and then The Hop Nerd over on YouTube. You know, just search it. If you like what we've got going on here, if you appreciate what we're bringing you, the resources over on the website, I didn't mention that one. That's a great thing to check out on the website too, especially as it pertains to what we're going to be chatting about today, 10 ideas. And I try to not say safety. That's my only real regret with that book is I should have left the big S word off of it. But most people that have read it understand that it's not just a safety thing. But some people throw rocks at me because I use the safety word. I know. I'm sorry. But I'm with you. I get it. Like the ideas that we talk about in that book go so far beyond safety. That was one of the first critiques that I got from a friend was like, this isn't a safety book. This is a leadership book. I'm like, yeah, my bad. But I'm telling you this because if you do go over to resources and you click on there, we have the 10 ideas, the primers, the ideas. Of course, I just said 10 ideas, the primers and the ideas. So yeah, the ideas are there, but there are primers and questions and all kinds of stuff you can download for free over at the resource section. Pull them, use them. When you make them better, send them back to me. That's all that I ask. So put those to good use, along with a lot of the videos that I've produced. You can just download them and put them in your presentations. That way you don't have to link to like weird, wacky YouTube things. And I know, I do this stuff too. I'm out there with you. I don't know if I'm going to have internet or not. And I don't know how to embed a stupid video. Well, you guys are wizards. I don't know how to do that. I have no clue. No clue. What kind of, but still, you all are wizards. I'm not the PowerPoint guru. I'm not a guru of anything. I try to make that very clear. But I like downloading stuff. I don't like linking to stuff in present. It gets weird. They never work right. So you can download them. Yeah, that's really what I'm telling you. But we are talking about 10 ideas to make safety circles. So let me recap that a bit because, man, I'm pumped. I'm just excited to get to be here with you today. And I hope that it's as exciting of a day for you today as it is for me. I'm just always, always pumped for a new week, another podcast, getting to do this amazing work, this work that we're doing for the right reasons, with the best of intentions, and having a shit ton of fun along the way. A shit ton of fun while we're out there making the world a bit better, a better place to work, bringing human and organization performance to life. Love it. I hope that just pours through this microphone into your ear holes or through your car speakers or through your desk speakers or wherever you're listening. And I'm amped. So let me recap this all just a little bit to say, check out the website. If you need a hand, especially this fall, get on the calendar quick because the calendar is starting to compress. TheHopNerd@gmail.com is the easiest way to do that. Send me the date you're looking at, what you're looking for. We can just get it on there. Or we can jump on a Teams call, a Zoom call, whatever call, a phone call. Yeah, I still have one of those. And we can talk about it. Yeah, that's super duper easy too. We can throw that on the calendar. And if you want to self-schedule that, go to the website and just click book an initial consult. The website is thehopnerd.com. If you go to the bottom, join the mailing list. Check that out. You're going to know where I'm at, what I've got going on, new podcast episodes, this one and the sideshow, right? So go follow, like, review, all that stuff with the sideshow wherever you find podcasts and check out the shop. Last but not least, thanks for being here. I feel the need to say this always, we have the best people. We do. We have the best little community around the show, not just in the greater Hop community, which is pretty freaking badass in general. But I don't know, this little community of folks around the show, around everything we've got going on with the Hop Nerd LLC, around all the work that I've got going on here, the people that seem to come around us here, you all rock. Really. I don't say that lightly. I mean it. You all are amazing. Many of you have been hanging around here and dragging more people into this community since the very, very beginning. And I see that and I notice that and I appreciate that. And when I tell you that I love you and I mean it, I'm not saying bye yet. I usually say that in the shows. I do mean that. We greatly appreciate everything that you do to support us. We greatly appreciate that, whether that's picking up a shirt or just joining the mailing list or leaving us a review or interacting with our posts or telling your friends about the work that we got going on, your colleagues, your peers. It means the absolute world to us. So with that big hug, kiss, and thank you out of the way, let's jump into today's episode. Ah, Man, I'm having to really put down the cold brew. It probably should be water. It's still pretty stinking hot here in Phoenix. It has cooled down over the past couple weeks. It's gone from like a slightly warm 115 to like a 105. You know, and I'm still down in the coffee. And I'm down in the coffee because, as you know, I mean, I spend a lot of my life talking to people, to individuals, to groups, doing keynotes, doing podcasts. And every now and again, you can probably hear it. I get a little kind of happening. And it's weird. It's weird when you do what I do for a living. You got to, like, do voice exercises, I guess. I'm not good at doing those. I've got some of those that I should be doing. I've got the vocal spray, you know, the voice ease or singer's ease or whatever it's called. And I use some of that stuff and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I have neglected it over the past couple of weeks as I've been having conversations with folks out and about in the world and keynoting and doing all that kind of stuff and then doing the podcast. So it's probably coming through. That's why I'm here. We go. Let's have some more cold brew. So I apologize if my cold brew obsession, that's probably the biggest reason why I chug it. But if my need to lubricate my throat offends you, which I know that it doesn't, I just feel the need to let you know that that's kind of what's going on. If you hear me sounding a little bit wonky. Yeah. So today what I wanted to dive into, last week we did the first episode and I don't know where this is going. I don't know if there's going to be a three. I don't know if there's going to be a three about the same time that, you know, there's going to be a three and it'll be at the end of this podcast. So let's find that out together. Let's go on an adventure. But in the first part of this rewind back to the basics of human and organizational performance. In that first episode, we talked about a bit of a definition of what HOP is. A HOP being this collection of better beliefs, assumptions, and ideas from diverse and varying sources that we apply through the lens of this core set of principles. This core set of principles being error is normal, blame fixes nothing, context drives behavior, learning is vital, and how we respond matters. And we broke those down quite a bit. We also talked a little bit about business intent, a little bit of what we're really trying to achieve with this. You know, obviously, at really the core of it all, we're trying to humanize our approaches, treat people how we would like to be treated, make more humane systems of work, treating people like adults rather than like kids on our good days and on our bad days and maybe our bad normal days, treating them like we're training dogs. They're not kids and they're not dogs. They're good people. They're doing good work. They're doing it for the right reasons and they're mostly creating good outcomes. And I feel the need always to insert that they are adults doing good work, adults doing it for the right reasons, adults with good intentions, adults that are mostly creating good outcomes. They are not dogs and they are not children. Blah. I know it makes me go blah when I have to say that, but I do. We have to say that. We have to put that out there. We talked a lot about that during the first episode, and my job here is not to recap that. So if you want to listen to that episode, go back to the episode just before this one, and you can. What I promised you in this one is that we were going to quickly unpack 10 ideas from my book, 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less. You can find that over on the website. I think it's on the main page. Yep, I'm not going to look this one up, but you can go find it. It's there. You can see it. Or you just go to Amazon and just search 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less. We have the original Safety Sucks book. It is just called Safety Sucks, the BS in the safety profession that they don't tell you about. And then we have Safety Sucks, the manifesto that I wrote with my near and dear friend, Ian Allison. And then obviously this one. Those first two mostly focused on the safety profession itself, the pressure relief of writing about the problems within the safety profession, the manifesto having more ideas around how we can conquer some of those things and make that a bit of a better profession for ourselves, really be more useful than just telling people to try harder and care more. That doesn't work very well. And then 10 ideas to make safety suck less, but the 10 ideas book really focused on how we operationalize human and organizational performance within our organization. 10 key ideas that I whittled down to 10. There are more, and I probably could have made it less, but those are the 10 that I settled on, really around the lessons that I learned working internal to an organization, bringing this stuff to life, starting with very little to no support in this organization that was very traditionally based, and then growing human and organizational performance from there, kind of as the person. Now, the person grew into several people and then grew into more people as I kind of rallied that. But yeah, that's where that came from. I was not born this. I was not born into a podcast and a consultancy. At least not me. Some maybe, but not here. I've worked in internal to companies. I know the frustrations that you face. And these 10 ideas were some of those 10 key actionable things that I discovered along the way. Things we could actually focus on beyond just those core principles, beliefs, and assumptions, things we could really just put some effort into that made a huge damn difference to us doing that. So let's unpack these. I'm not going to go through each and every single one of you. I'm not going to go through each and every single one of them. I'm going to hit you with about four that are extremely important to me. The four that I really think that we need to start with. If you want to learn more about the rest of those, the others, what, six? Yeah, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yeah, six. If you want to learn more about the other six, if you haven't read the book, you can go pick the book up on Amazon. If you want to just go peruse the website under the resources, then click 10 ideas, primers, and ideas. You'll get the full 10 ideas and some of the primer questions and reflection stuff. It's over there. So go check it out. So I want to start right where I think we always need to start, and that's starting from a place of trust. It's starting from a place of trust. Our work worlds are built on systems of distrust. They are, right? And it's always been wacky to me that we take, and we've talked about the shithead clause, but we take this notion that everyone's a shithead until proven otherwise. And when you do that, it only makes you the shithead or your organization the shithead. And what makes it that much wackier to me is that we're not even dealing with just the general population, who I personally believe the vast majority of people are halfway decent people. Most of them more than halfway decent people. They're mostly just people out there surviving, doing the best that they can. Don't mean you no harm. Don't mean anyone no harm. Just doing the best that they can. I think that's the general definition of humanity. Do shitheads exist? Back to the shithead clause. Sure. Are there people out there that deliberately want to hurt you, cause you problems? Sure. But they are the rarity within our world. Now, when we get to our work worlds, I think they are that much more of a rarity. Why? You know why? Because we sort. We do a lot of sorting. Let's talk about what this sorting looks like. If you apply for a job, what happens next? Well, you have about 47 interviews nowadays because we want to make sure that you are a good cultural fit. And the only way that we can figure that out is if we interview you once and then we interview you again and then we interview you with a new panel and then another panel. And then you get interviewed by like 14 of your peers. And then you get interviewed by the person that might be your boss and then their boss's boss and then their boss's boss. And then we're going to set you down with the HR team for another interview. And then, we know how this modern landscape hell works to even go through an interview process. Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? You know, there's probably some room for improvement there, but we do it. We go through that. That's not the end, though. We test you. Some jobs you have to take tests, like actual written tests, competency tests. Some jobs you need licenses for, so you got to show up with your licenses. Some jobs you need this fingerprint card and these background checks, and then we're going to background check you on top of that. And then we're going to drug test you, and sometimes we'll draw blood. We'll even nicotine test you. We'll pull hair out of you. We'll put you through psychological evaluations, MMPIs, and similar stuff. And we'll continue this whole exercise of what I would boil down to an exercise in showing that we can trust you. Yeah, that's really what it is, huh? We're growing trust for you. And then as soon as we go, 47 interviews done, all this testing done, now they pass. Good cultural fit. We put you in our organization. We then say, we don't trust you anymore. All of our systems are built under this assumption that everyone's a shithead and we must treat everyone like shitheads. We remove all of your autonomies, give you a strict set of rules to follow. And then, sorry, I'm getting excited here. Maybe I haven't had enough cold brew or maybe too much. And then we surveil you to make sure that you strictly adhere to everything because we can't trust you. Our systems are built on trust. Distrust. We must start from a place of trust. And there's a really, really basic reason here for me. And it's this. Many organizations, almost all, I would say all organizations I work with, they tell me that they suck at two things. You know, the first one, trust. And then the next one is communication. Now, I'm not going to tell you too much about communication. That's kind of not my cup of tea. Maybe it should be. I don't know. I do communicate a lot. I don't know that I'm all that good at it. But I will talk to you a little bit about trust. And I don't think it's that they suck at those two things as much as those two things are just really freaking hard. Oh, sorry if that came through. My email's telling me I'm getting emails. But I think those two things are really, really freaking hard. They're hard. They're hard and we don't know what to do with it. they're tough. Now, we could have a really long conversation, like weeks-long conversation about trust, but the thing that I want to talk to you about trust is this, in my hillbilly ease. If you don't trust me, why in the hell would I ever trust you? I won't. Yeah. I'd posted about this not that long ago, and then somebody gave this exact response somewhere around there, because this is some of the reason why posting goes, because I'm not going to argue with somebody that's not going to have a constructive conversation. But it sounded something like this. That's not how any of this works. Trust is earned. It is never given. And my thought is like, you must be real lonely, man. Like, that's probably the first place. You must be real lonely. And I bet not many people trust you. Because, yeah, but it's a two-way street here, fella. Yeah, friends, all y'all, it's a two-way street. If you don't trust me, I am never going to trust you. And especially in a position of leadership within an organization. If I want to receive trust up and throughout my organization, I must first be willing to extend trust down towards the coalface. I gotta. Because why in the hell would I trust you if you don't trust me? I'm not. I'm just not. Now, as we go down this path of trying to get trust, instead of extending trust, we do a lot of wacky things. We beg and we plead and we demand. I put it in my principles. See, you need to trust me. You should trust me. I put it in our principles. You know that it's in our principles. And I know that you know because I made you sign a little page in a book because I don't trust you to show that you read all those principles and all of our rules. That way I can fire you later if I find any of them that you didn't barely messed up. Yeah. Uh-huh. See, distrust, huh? Yep, exactly. We have to extend trust to receive trust. There are no guarantees in this. I think that's a place where we really need to say there's no guarantees. But what I do know is that when I beg for trust, when I demand trust, it's creepy and it's weird and it's strange. When I walk up to you on the street and you don't know me, or at least you don't know me very well, and that's just the first things out of my mouth is like, you need to trust me. I'm a good person. We really care. We really care. Don't you see all these posters and billboards we put up that show that we really care? We really feel like a family around here, and you should trust us. And if you don't trust us, we'll fire you. And pretty please, damn it, trust me. Damn it, trust me. The first thing you're not going to do is trust me, because it is. It's creepy and it's weird and it's strange. It's creepy and it's weird and it's strange when you do it to a stranger on the street, and it's just as creepy, weird, and strange when you do it to your employees. If you want to work on something, try to do something that actually works, start to extend trust. Yeah, extend trust. And back to the point, there are no guarantees. But if you extend trust, there's a pretty dang good chance that you might just receive a little bit in return. Now, a really tactical thing that I can share with you here around trust is that when we embrace the hot principles and when we start to operationally learn something like learning teams, like starting points, operationally curious questions, we're going out, we're engaging with folks nearest to the work and not blaming and shaming them and pointing fingers and all that stuff, but learning from them and being genuinely operationally curious and working with them to create what better looks like together, like something like a more formal learning team. Again, as an example, that is an extension of trust. You're kind of saying, I don't know, you teach me, and whatever comes up, and we'll figure it out together from there. That's an extension of trust. Start from a place of trust if you want to receive trust up through your organization. Now, the next one that I want to share with you is do things with people. Not two. We've been real good at doing crap to people. Real good. Now, we've usually evolved that from a place of care to trying to do stuff for people, but that doesn't work out very well either. We know that. Because none of this is stuff that we can do to or for. It's stuff that we have to do together. And maybe even back to the point, I don't think you should do crap to or for adults. I don't think that works very well. We are all adults. We are all here willingly. We are in this thing together. We should do things together. Yep. Uh-huh. We should. Because our most favorite thing as people is when someone, usually far, far away from us, with little to no input from us, tries to do crap to us. And whether we like it or not, because those people that are far, far away from us, they think they know what's best for us. How well does that work out for us? It doesn't, you know, because probably some of your more recent safety initiatives, it doesn't work. When you go try to do crap to people, if you come at me trying to do crap to me, and even sometimes for me, with little to no input from me, whether I like it or not, because you think it's what's best for me. Even if I agree with you, I'm going to do the exact freaking opposite because you're kind of an ass. Yeah, even if I agree with you, I'm going to do the opposite just to prove a point. We can't do stuff to people or for them. We need to do things with them. Now, the next thing that I want to share with you from 10 ideas, this third of the 10 ideas, is learn deliberately and often from those that GSD, those that get shit done. Operational reality lives nearest to the work. And we have to go out and seek that out on purpose. It can't be by accident. We got to go out and spend time with those folks nearest to the work, not observing them with their clipboards, not going out there and saying, I have a nice observation card. Let me bubble in the behaviors that we don't like about you today. None of that stuff. Not going out looking for opportunities for blame or places to point fingers at people, but to learn from them. Got to be genuinely operationally curious, like well-intended operational curiosity. Hey, I'm super curious. What you do for a living seems really freaking cool to me. And I am a nerd for work. I really am. A side note here. I love learning about what people do for a living. I think it's like the coolest thing ever. Teach me. No judgment. I don't have a rule book. I don't have an observation card. Teach me. Like, just teach me, because this is badass. I think you're badass. Teach me what you do, because this is a wild. Teach me about it. A lot of people that I've discovered in our work world, and some of them, yeah, some of us, myself included sometimes, we whine and gripe. I hate this. This is stupid. I'm fishing. But you don't do what you do for 20 or 30 years if you don't at least kind of like it. Yeah, if you're not at least a bit of a nerd for it, you go find something else to do. You can. Yeah, it's easy. You go find something else to do. After at least about the first 3 or 4 years, you'd have found something else. Yeah. People kind of like what they do for a living. They're nerds for it just as much as we're nerds for learning about it. If you go show them that you have well-intended curiosity, you're not there to pick them apart. You're not there to say, hey, I think I know you. I know your job. My rule book tells me your job better than you know your job. I know you've only done this for 50 years, but I've got a nice book that I carry around that tells me how you should do your job. As long as you're not doing that crap, you really just want to learn. People are more than happy to teach you about what they do for a living. The funny thing is, you might just learn something cool along the way. Yeah, and I don't mean the stuff we normally talk about, pain points, problems, issues. Yeah, you'll get that too. But maybe you'll just learn that, yeah, holy crap, that is cool. Yeah, you'll just learn something interesting. Learn deliberately and often from those that get shit done. Operational reality lives nearest to the work. You have to learn about it on purpose. And I always share it like this, and I've shared it on this podcast a ton, so if you've heard it, I'm sorry. But I always think back to walking around with this one power plant operator. The first time that kind of hit me, it's like, holy shit, that's right. We're walking around and we just stopped. Well, he stopped because I'm following. Yeah, I'm following. And kind of looks over at me. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I look over at him. And then he looks at me kind of weird, like, what the hell? How do you not? What, huh? You stupid? And then I looked at him. I'm like, are you crazy? Why don't we stop? Why are you looking at me all weird? What's that? Are we going to hug? Like, I don't, what is this? And then he said something that sounded like this. You can't hear it? You can't feel that? Like, I can hear it. I can feel it. You don't hear that? You feel it? You feel it in your feet? That little bit of a vibration? You hear that? That pump? That pump over there? And then what follows that sounds something like this. When it does that, you got to flip it on and off twice. Yep, real quick, real quick. Then you got to hit it with a ball peen hammer. And then you, was it a hawk too? There you go. There's a nice cultural reference. You spit on that thing, and then it runs good for about a month. How can that operational reality live anywhere but nearest to the work? That kind of reality, that kind of operational know-how and expertise, that can't live in your corporate tower. That can't live in some plush, posh conference room somewhere far, far away from work with everyone that thinks they know how work's supposed to get done. That lives with the people that actually get shit done within your organization. We need to be curious and learn from those experts within our work worlds and work with them to make things better, to make things easier, to make work suck less. Yeah, we need to work with them. Which leads me to my last one that I want to share with you. Again, the rest of these are available over on the website. I apologize. I get a little passionate when we talk about the people nearest to the work, the ones that are out there getting shit done day and night, rain, snow, sleet, hail, 115 degree Phoenix weather. Sorry if my passion comes across as a little bit angry. It's not, I promise. It's just passion. But this last piece, pain points are starting points. Pain points are signals, y'all. They are signals. Dude, man, they're signals. Pain in our work world, it's not all that much different than our bodies experience pain. What's pain? Pain is a signal. It is telling us that something in our body has stopped or will stop working pretty soon, that something has gone wrong or is actively going wrong. And if we don't do something like seek medical help, you know, take care of whatever that thing is or stop doing whatever's causing all this pain, that if we don't do something about it, there's a pretty good chance that things are going to get real weird real fast. You might even get real dead real fast. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why this chest pain, it feels like someone's pouring hot water down my right arm. I'm sure it's nothing. Nope. It's a signal. Yeah, get help right now. Yeah, a Super Trooper reference for you. We're having all kinds of fun today. Get help right now. Yeah, pain in our work roles is not all that different. It's a signal. It's telling us that things have gone wrong or actively going wrong, that things are getting weird out there, that something maybe hasn't gone all the way wrong but is going wrong, that it might have not failed all the way, but it is actively failing. It is a faint signal, and we need to go learn more. It's telling us we need to do something, and usually the answer is go learn. Go learn more. Go learn more. Pain points are starting points. Not only are they starting points, but they usually go deep. They usually lead you to rot that is buried deep beneath the surface, and I love pain points. When I hear pain points, for all of you that have been in learning teams with me, when I hear that pain, those friction points, those things where things just suck and they shouldn't, or we go, why in the hell is that hard? Or why is that so easy to make a mistake? Or just, that's so dumb. Like those kind of things. When I hear that, my ears stand up and I'm like, holy crap, let's talk more about that. Take me in that direction. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm so excited. We have a little bit more cold brew before my voice goes out. Here we go. I'm pumped because pain points are starting points. There are opportunity to dig deep, learn more, and improve. And there are opportunity to improve almost always pre-event, at least if we're listening. If we're listening for them, we can improve pre-event. So those are the core four. I think that's what I'm going to call them, the core four. Because there's the rest of them, you know, becoming obsessed with the things that matter. More tools, less rules, this compliance piece, and stop trying to comply and punish our way to excellence, and redefining safe, and giving up on safety fortune telling, and embracing humanity, and all those kind of other key things. I think we weave in pretty good through a lot of our other conversation. And again, if you want to learn more about those, you can just go to thehopnerd.com, click resources at the top. You can check out all the other stuff that we talked about over on the website too. But those are the core four that I really like to spend a lot of time talking about, because we get a lot of bang for our buck there. So those 10 key ideas to operationalizing human and organizational performance within our work worlds. Now, I told you, I didn't know if there was going to be a number three. I guess we'll have to wait and find out. If I come up with something else, like something cool, I'm like, I want to talk about this next one. There will be a three. I don't know if it'll be next or not. You'll have to tune in next week and find out. Because I really do want to unpack some of the key ideas and key ingredients of learning teams too. I feel like that's a really good part of the back to the basics thing. That's a great piece of that conversation to have as well. So we'll see. We'll see. There will be a number three that talks about those at some point. Maybe next week, maybe the week after. I don't know. It'll be as much of a surprise for me as it is for you. How about that? Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for the amazing conversations as always. Again, if you need a hand on your hop journey, let me know, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Ooh, I always forget to tell you, but we've got, hop and operational learning in Las Vegas on October 8th and 9th with me and the phenomenal, the amazing, the great and powerful Steve Scott. If you want to come be a part of that workshop, very reasonably priced, we do offer group discounts as well. Seats are going fast, so make sure you jump in there. Just send Steve an email, steve@hopimprovement.com, or go over to the website, thehopnerd.com/event, no S, just event. And you can learn more. You get the itinerary and get all the stuff. You probably need to get it approved through your organization if you're trying to go that way, or pay for it yourself. Super duper easy. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you there. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.